I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Greg Grugan, and basically this is my dream job. Drinking beer, getting paid, talking to people I think are interesting, fascinating people like State Representative Lacey Hall, the historic moment, the first woman on Red, White, and Brews. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I remember you on the campaign trail. You were sharp, but you were pretty idealistic. You were hoping to go to Austin and make change. And, you know, by all accounts, you are. What do you love best about being in the legislature?
I love serving my district, my constituents, Texas, getting to work on the policy areas that I am passionate about. Families and kids, parents' rights, education, healthcare, just I love it. It is the honor of a lifetime.
It always wasn't easy. You're a freshman and learning the ropes. How tough is that?
It's pretty interesting, right? You think it's going to be one way and you get in there and some of it is, and then the rest of it, it's pretty interesting.
You've been there now, what, this is your second or third term?
Third term. For my fourth.
You are now a chairperson of a critical committee. Can you talk about that?
I love human services. That committee is my heart. We serve the most vulnerable Texans on that committee. So whether it's child protective services, adult protective services, Medicaid, Texans with disabilities. So it can be a pretty heavy committee, but I love it because we truly get to help a lot of people.
Look, the sessions are long, especially when you pile on specials. Oh, yeah. Lots of testimony, and in your arena, some of the testimony is heartrending. How do you separate, emotional pleas from policymaking, or do you ever separate them?
Sometimes, yes. But I think the biggest question is this the role of government? Is this the role of the state? And so you can have a very compassionate compelling story, but is it the role of government? And so that's what we have to weigh, and that's what we have to balance.
What are you most proud of that has come out of your committee, reached the floor, reached the governor's desk?
Several things. We have made many reforms to child protective services and the way that they operate, investigations, due process. So some of that I'm really proud of. We've made a lot of changes within Medicaid to provide services that will ultimately save taxpayer dollars and provide better outcomes down the road, like lactation consulting benefits to women in Medicaid. That was a huge one. Nutrition counseling, that will help reduce chronic disease and save taxpayer dollars in the long run.
Look, you have gained the trust of Speaker Dustin Burrows. And having that trust, how important is that for you to get stuff done, not only for your district, but for all of the people in Texas?
I'm very thankful, and I appreciate and am so thankful that he does trust me with this committee, and it's an incredible honor.
Okay, what was the biggest eye-opener, as a prelude to the question, what do you hate about the legislature?
Oh, gosh. It can be, people always say that sometimes, the stabbing in the back, but sometimes people stab you right in the front. Yeah. It's just the dishonesty sometimes. That is very, very frustrating. At that place, you rely on people's word. And if you don't have that, you have nothing. And so that's been pretty hard to people that you think you can trust. And then later you find out, no, you cannot. That can be kind of disappointing sometimes.
Do you remember the first time it happened? When?
Oh, there's been so many, so yeah. I don't know.
Look, the friendships, the lawmakers come from all over the state. Mm-hmm. They are representative of every community across this incredible Lone Star State. Have you made friends?
Oh, definitely. And from all over the state. It's pretty incredible the way our government works. And truly, the interest of my district in Houston is wildly different from someone in West Texas or East Texas, but some truly incredible people and great friendships.
Yeah, you are a Republican, and you know, Republicans push through multiple legislative initiatives this session, including one that was a particular interest in this community, which was school choice. You were in favor of school choice. Do you think we'll be better as a state because of it?
Yes, I believe so. I think it will help with competition within public schools, and I think it will just raise the bar for all students and all education types in Texas, whether it's public, so ISDs and charter schools, to private schools, to homeschoolers. I think it raises the bar for everybody.
Right now, it's just $1 billion. Do you expect the outlay to increase so that more families can take advantage of the option?
I hope so, but I think this is a, you know, it will go into effect next school year. So we will see the interest, how it's used, and go from there. Right now, the priority is to children with disabilities and to low-income families.
So you homeschool your son.
I do, yes.
And the program should help other homeschoolers because they can get resources to help them do the job better at home.
Yes, correct. Homeschoolers do not get as much as if a child was going to go to a private school. But yes, it can absolutely, it can be a deal breaker to where this is, having this option for families means that they can homeschool their child now, because before they could not. They just simply couldn't afford it. And so now they can.
All right. Stay with us. Red, White, and Bruce. We'll be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Greg Grugan, and I'm joined tonight, today, I guess it's today.
Yeah.
State Representative Lacey Hall, who has earned my respect by the way she handles herself on the floor of the Texas House and in everything she does. Lacey, you were right in the middle of one Donnybrook of a speaker's race fight this last session. Bottom line is, you were supporting Dustin Burrows, who ultimately won the speakership. But there was incredible pressure for you to flip your vote to State Representative David Cook. What was that like?
You are correct. There was a ton of pressure. You know, for the first time ever, in this speaker's race, outside money was able to be spent on it to influence legislators. That has never happened before. And so I think that's why we saw this onslaught of pressure and really lies about now Speaker Burrows, who has proven himself and hit the entire time he was in the legislature, but this session as speaker, to be the solid conservative that he is.
Well, you know, I'm a political reporter, and I was following things in the background. You received threats.
Oh, yes.
It was intense.
Oh, yes. Tons of threats. And, you know, we got a lot. The other side, to not just me, but other colleagues, there were a lot of threats, promises for things, chairmanships, and just really wonderful, shiny things. But I am very proud of my fellow colleagues who did not budge, because history has proven that we made the right choice.
Yeah, in that fight, you were up against Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who decided to get in the fight. You were accused of being disloyal Republicans because you welcomed some votes from across the aisle. It was a coalition that put Dustin Burrows into the speakership, and yet he is now considered to be one of the most conservative speakers we've ever had.
Correct. To where President Trump is thrilled and has endorsed Speaker Burrows for re-election and for speaker, the lieutenant governor, the governor, Senator Cruz, everyone is happy with Speaker Burrows and the session that we had.
Yeah, one of the most contentious issues of the session. It really shouldn't be. It's one of those 80-20 issues, which is biological boys in transition being allowed to compete in the past in girls' sports.
Yeah,
that
ridiculous.
Just makes no sense to the vast majority of Texans.
Correct.
Talk about that fight.
Yeah, it was not pleasant at all. I mean, and up in the gallery, so when we're on the house floor, people can go sit up in the gallery, and there was a lot of yelling, and, you know, they had signs, which you're not supposed to, so eventually the gallery had to be cleared, and so sometimes it can be very threatening. Some of my colleagues did receive death threats over that. It was pretty intense, but again, it was a fight worth having. I'm glad that we did it. I'm glad the bill was passed. But I think if you would have asked Democrats and Republicans 20 or 30 years ago, no one would have even believed that we would have had to even pass a bill like that. I think everyone used to agree on this. So it's pretty mind-blowing that this fringe group on the far left has made it this.
I covered the legislature day in, day out for like 7 years while I worked in Austin. And, you know, I know that Republicans and Democrats are friends. They form relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk to folks on the other side, where they actually, in their hearts, in favor of these biological men in transition, competing against their daughters on the same playing field.
Some were supportive, but some voted that way because they just didn't want a primary.
Wow. We had another, I call it, you know, I'm not exactly sure what to call it, elopement by the Democrats this year. They
yes.
left their job. Your reaction there?
Well, I'm glad that they came back. We put new rules in place at the beginning of session, which drastically it worked because it cut down the time that they were gone significantly from, what was it, 3 months before to a little over 2 weeks this time. So it worked. And I'm sure we will look at rules next time to change that again. But I'm glad they came back and glad that we got redistricting passed.
Yeah, it's interesting that they would leave their jobs, leave the state for political boundaries, but not for school choice, for some of these other contentious issues. What does that say about the process?
Well, they also fled to a state that is incredibly gerrymandered and had arguments from other congressmen in other states who have not a single Republican congressional district. So it just, their argument was ridiculous. Their argument was, it's fine when Democrats do it, but it's not fine when Republicans do it.
Yeah, I want to talk at least later on in the show about the whole concept of loyalty tests. Because
yes.
the Democrats have gotten to the point to where if you're not with them on the far left stuff, you get excommunicated.
Oh, yeah.
It's happening on the right as well. Have you seen that?
Yes, but I also see the dishonesty in it, too, to where they say it's that you're not with us on these issues. And I can't speak for the left and the Democrat Party, but on the right, where it's really lies and it's the people who put it out are people who profit off of primary campaigns.
Yeah. I mean, on the left, we see folks who are being, pushed out because they're not all on board with some of pretty radical ideas.
Right.
And that forces people to go against, their core beliefs just for political survival. Hey, hang with us, everybody, because Red, White, and Bruise will be right back.
I pledge allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the red, white, and blue.
Hey, welcome back to this historic episode of Red, White, and Bruise. Joining me today, my first ever female guest, State Representative Lacey Hall, somebody I deeply respect. Lacey, you're not just a state lawmaker, you're a mom first and foremost. And I know how hard it is to be up there. It's a 24/7 job. How tough is it parenting you know, while you're lawmaking.
It has its challenges, but I'll tell you, my son has incredible opportunities to be able to witness Texas history like most kids don't. He comes to the Capitol and he'll sit with me on the House floor. He'll come to the committee hearings. But he was used to it when I was campaigning, before I ever even ran for office too, helping other people campaign. But he gets excited about it. And he is a true sport. But I'll tell you, he was so excited in this last special session when he got to meet RFK Jr. We passed the big MAHA bill. RFK Jr. came in for the bill signing when Governor Abbott signed the bill. And my son was so pumped. He was telling all of his friends, "I get to go meet RFK Jr. And some of them, of course, were like, who is RFK? Yeah. But so he is a sport about it. But there are times where he gets really excited about it.
Hey, I know he's proud of his mom. Look, I want to ask you about something that, you know, most of the public knows about, which is this hazy concept. They know they're out mm-hmm. there. The lobby.
Oh, yes.
And so you entered legislative service probably understanding that they were out there. Now you deal with them on a daily basis. Give us a sense, help the public understand who these people are and how they operate.
It really depends. There are lobbyists that I know that I can trust what they say, and then there are others that you learn that you cannot trust what they say. And some of them are out there representing, you know, nurses or just groups of people who cannot come to the Capitol all the time. So they hire someone to go on their behalf. But then I'll tell you, I had the MAHA bill that I was talking about, the big food labeling bill. Well, entire organizations were created to lobby against this bill by Big Food. Big Food came in so hard against this bill. So the lobby efforts, it was one of the most heavily lobbied bills this session. I joked and called it the Lobby Employment Act of 2025. And it's the way that it was. So you just know, you learn who you can trust, who you can't. Some are there and they truly believe in what they're doing. And others, it's just their job. So it really just depends, but you have to be able to sort through and discern what's true and what's not.
Hey, I wanted to ask you about something that you witnessed firsthand. You saw then Democrat Sean Thierry,
yes,
take to the mic on the issue we previously discussed, which was her opposition to transitioning children.
Right.
And medication for children to transition before the age of consent. She was not only ostracized, she was excommunicated from, yes, her party pretty much. And the Republicans have embraced her. Any thoughts about watching that that demonstration of principle?
I think it was pretty incredible the way that she was able to stand up for what she believed in, no matter the consequences. And she knew, and She lost her re-election over it. But yes, the Republican Party has embraced her. But that's where we're at. I'm like, more people, come on over. We're the party of sanity here. We are not all the issues that you're talking about of the gender modification for minors and boys being able to play in girls' sports. It's all just ridiculous. And it is not what the average Texan or American aligns with.
Yeah, I'm from the Texas border, and a lot of my buddies from high school, some of the issues I have no interest in.
Right.
They understood that one.
Yes.
And they voted for it. Hey, look, you know, there's also the flip side of this. My friend Gary Pollan says, you know, if I agree with somebody on 80-85% of things, I figure I've got an ally. And yet there's a movement within the Republican Party to push out those who aren't pure believers. What do you think about that? Should it be a big tent party?
If it wasn't, we wouldn't have people like Trump, RFK Jr. There's all these people now who Republicans think are really great who you wouldn't have thought that, because they used to be Democrats. So there has to be room for people to disagree. But I would also say, I know we talked about it earlier, but there's also a lot of dishonesty. People saying that you're this, like the purity test, you're not that conservative, you're not really a Republican when you are, but that message is put out there by people who profit off of primary campaigns and how that infiltrates down to well-meaning good people who just want to help Republicans get elected. And so it's about having to discern what's true and what's not. And it's a shame that it is that way, because it shouldn't be.
Hey, Lacey, you've got about a minute left. And, you know, I know something that's really important to you is keeping in touch with the people you represent. How much time do you spend doing that? And how critical is it in doing the job?
Oh, it's crucial. I meet with any constituent that wants to meet with me. And so that is what most of my time is in district, spending time with constituents and people who want to meet to talk about their issue. That is where bills come from. I have filed numerous bills. The first bill I passed was because of a constituent.
Look, I'm kind of proud of this episode. First ever female person to sit on the couch here at Red, White, and Brew Studios. I hope you'll come back.
I will. Thanks. I'm glad to be the first female. Thank you.
All right, Lacey. Okay, guys, we'll see you next week for another episode of Red, White, and Brews.